This episode of the YVR Screen Scene Podcast is brought to you by UBCP ACTRA, aka the Union of British Columbia Performers. UBCP is an autonomous branch of the Alliance of Canadian Cinema, Television, and Radio Artists, the national organization of professional performers working in the English language recorded media in Canada. For more information about UBCP ACTRA, visit ubcpactra.ca.
This episode was sponsored in part by listeners like you. Join our Patreon community and receive early access to episodes, bonus content, stickers, buttons, and more. Visit www.patreon.com/YVRScreenScenePodcast.
Welcome to the YVR Screen Scene Podcast, where we pull back the curtain and expose the beating heart of the Vancouver film and television industry, namely the actors and filmmakers and other talented artists who do the work. Capital T, capital W. I don't know why I'm reading that. I've said this now more than 300 times, but I'm reading every single word. Anyway, who am I? I'm Sabrina Ronnie Firminger. And today, I am thrilled to welcome Jennifer Spence back to the YVR Screen Scene Podcast. Jennifer Spence, and I'm going to just call her Jennifer Spence, not Jen, not Jennifer, Jennifer Spence. So Jennifer Spence last appeared on this here podcast in April 2019, and iCal tells me that was 5 years ago, and I just don't believe it. It was yesterday. Regardless, during Jennifer Spence's first appearance on this here podcast, we talked about how she was something of a genre hopper, having worked on sci-fi dramas like Continuum and Stargate Universe and Travelers, and straight-up dramas like The Bletchley Circle San Francisco and Downriver, and You, Me, Her, which was arguably a comedy drama, aka a dramedy. Today, Jennifer Spence returns to this here podcast to talk about her leading role in a new half-hour single-camera comedy series called The Trades. And having watched the first 6 episodes of the show, I can tell you that our resident genre hopper is still an expert at hopping genres. Set in a blue-collar community where the high stress of working in a refinery are balanced by the comedic high-wire antics of its plant workers, The Trades centers around Todd, a pipefitter, and his sister and roommate, Audrey, who follows in her big brother's footsteps pursuing a career in the trades as a carpenter. Jennifer Spence is Chelsea, an ambitious young executive from head office who arrives in town, announces she's the new site manager, and immediately sets about making changes. At its heart, the 8-part comedy series, which is produced by Trailer Park Boys Inc. and Content Use Productions for Crave, is a love letter to skilled trade workers written with grit, humor, and heart. Did I mention? I'm going to mention. Our Jennifer Spence shines as Chelsea. So today we're going to talk about comedy, welding, naughty parade floats, that's going to be something, and catch up on the last 5 years with one of our all-time favorite genre hoppers, Jennifer Spence.
Jeez, what a nice intro. Thanks,
welcome
man.
Back. Welcome back to the YVR Screen Scene Podcast.
It's great to be back. I always love chatting with you.
Yeah, I feel like it hasn't been 5 years, though.
I know, it's weird. Like, it feels like, I know, it feels like it was yesterday, but it also feels like you've been around for like 10 years, 20 years.
I feel like I've aged 10 years, 20 years in the last 5 years. Yeah, because, you know, so, I mean, we were just talking about this beforehand. You came in and we recorded in the morning on the day that we found out later in the day that Travelers wasn't being renewed, which was like, that was pre-pandemic times. And, you know, you've been all over the place since then. And yet, you know, we also, I think we all just spent like a big chunk of time too, like baking sourdough and, you know, and growing and watching Tiger King and stuff. So anyway, how would you characterize your last 5 years? How you doing, Jennifer Spence?
You know, it's funny. I never got into the sourdough thing. I got into like drinking wine and eating chips all the time. And
yeah, that's, I mean, know. I never baked sourdough. ate a lot. Well, I found out because like the second week of the pandemic, I'm like, okay, what are all the food delivery things? And I found out that Cobbs delivers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I was like, I was not baking sourdough because I just don't, it's not a thing I enjoy. I don't have the patience. Yeah, yeah. I love eating sourdough and also pain au chocolat and also croissant.
Oh, yeah.
So I can have it like delivered hot at like 9 o'clock in the morning, you know, and then probably drinking a mimosa or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was the end of the world.
You start early. Yeah. Totally.
No. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
So yes, you drank a lot of wine, ate a lot of chips and
grew a spare tire and all that. Yeah. What do you call it? What was it? The COVID 15? Is that what people called it? Putting on the 15 pounds?
You know, it's so funny. Like I know that like, the pandemic and living in the pandemic and then that trauma, you know, mm-hmm. of being in the pandemic, like I was present in it. I know it wasn't that long ago, but I think like, and I know that, you know, I know COVID is still around in its own way, but there's a part of me that I think that like, it is hard for me mm-hmm. to put myself back in that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have like, I feel like I've tried to move on like really quickly. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's like a survival thing.
I think it know? Can be, yeah. Like a trauma response. Like
a trauma saying. Response, yeah. Because, you know, apparently there was like a similar kind of pandemic, 1918, 1919. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, everything is going to be different from now on. We'll never forget. Well, we forget.
Yeah.
You know, it might change some things. Yeah, we want to, right? And so, you know, I know that there's like, you know, working habits have changed and mm-hmm. definitely the industry's changed and how people submit, you know, their, totally. You know, self-taping stuff has changed. But then there's other things where it's like, was it called the COVID-15?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. How did you come through that time? How, like, besides the wine and the chips, like, how, yeah, but no, COVID. But how did COVID like change your relationship to the work, capital yeah. T, capital W?
It's a good question because, I mean, like you say, it did change how things are submitted, right?
Yeah.
It, self-taping world, you know, I imagine most people listening are familiar with the sort of acting world and you know, that process. But yeah, it's changed everything in terms of we used to go in the room and read with a casting director and ideally producer and director if it was a callback. But now it's just you tape it yourself in your own little private space or you go somewhere and tape it and, you know, you throw it out into the ether and hope for the best, right? So it's, yeah, it's a very different time. On the one hand, it's like super convenient because you don't, your life doesn't revolve around driving around to auditions. You can sort of book when you want to do it. But on the other hand, yeah, it's a lot more impersonal. And I think it's gotten more competitive, you know?
Really? More competitive? Like, I could see more isolating, but more competitive, like, how do you mean? Like,
I think because, you know, before when people were going into the room, a casting director would call in, say, 10 actors for a role, right? Because you'd have like a 10-minute allotment per actor type
yeah.
of thing, right? And now you get the self-tapes, or casting gets the self-tapes sent to them, and they can just, you know, see, say, 6 times that, 10 times that number
yeah.
of actors. So I think just more people are being seen now, and tapes aren't necessarily getting watched the whole way through.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's a touchy subject for a lot of people, understandably. So yeah, pros and cons for sure.
I like how you say for sure.
For sure.
One of the changes though that I found like within myself, and I think that a lot of people might be feeling this way too, is this need for like comedy. See the segue mm-hmm. I'm doing here? Comedy and just like, I need to watch something funny.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah. So let's talk about the trades then, because like I was like, oh, I will sit down, and I waited a few weeks to start watching it.
Mm.
So I was like, okay, there was like I will watch an episode a day. And I just sat, I watched everything in one go. Like,
oh,
I was
nice.
Like, this is amazing.
Well,
and it's
great.
Like, it really gave me something that I needed personally. But it also is kind of like, I loved seeing you there. You fit there so well. But you're also like, you're from this coast and it takes place on that coast.
Totally.
You know, so like, you're cut in some ways. I was like, wow, like Jen's been like kind of like paratrooped in here or something, you know? So I don't normally say like, how did you get that? You know, because often it's like, I had an audition or I read it and then I got cast. But like, you know, how did you get that?
Yeah, no, it's a valid question.
Well,
for
especially
sure.
With this, yeah. You know, with something like this where it's like, it's, you know, because it's like, it's the Trailer Park Boys, guys. And mm-hmm. it's like, you know, it's, I mean, it's, I'm assuming a lot of on location stuff going on in Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
You know, so how did you end up?
Yeah. So yeah, I did. I taped for it. And I forgot all about it, right? Because it was just like, I can't even remember when I taped for it. Probably around this time last year. And then, you know, a couple months went by and then suddenly get a call. And it was just like, oh my God, I totally forgot about that audition. And, you know, so it was a lovely surprise. And yeah, and Warren Sonoda, fellow Japanese-Canadian Warren Sonoda.
Warren Sonoda, who I have to say, I enjoy his social media presence yeah. because... Well, one, there's a lot of dog photos. Two, he clearly loves his partner. Three, every single time he posts, he puts his initials.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
WPS.
Yeah, he does, doesn't
and
he?
And
yeah.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
I think people should sign off their social media stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, more so. But yeah, so... Is he one of the reasons that, like, had you worked with him before?
I hadn't, no, because I knew of him, but I'd never worked with him, never even met him. And, but I remember seeing his name on, you know, when the submission came in,
yeah.
the breakdown, and just been like, oh, cool, him. And yeah, and so he had said that that he had wanted to open it up to a wider sort of reach of actors, not just keep it to Toronto, because yeah. a lot of the actors were from Ontario or from Nova Scotia, understandably. Yeah. But he wanted to open up this character in particular to, you know, all of Canada. So it's kind of, you know, his,
that's like
him that
really
I'm there.
WPS, that's very smart. That's really smart, because it does, like, you know, maybe he wanted a little bit of like method stuff with you feeling
yeah,
that
yeah.
way as an actor. But yeah. one of the things that I like about Warren P. Sonoda as well mm. is he directs stuff out here.
Oh, yeah.
So he totally. Knows the talent that's yeah. here, you know. So that's a benefit of bringing, you know, directors in from across the country, because then they see the Vancouver talent and they're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
we
for
want
sure.
a piece of this. So original response to the material, original response to the character. Tell us.
Yeah, so it was interesting because the audition that I had, or that the scenes that I had to audition with, were just, you know, say two scenes, I think. And so because my character is more of a straight man, I wasn't getting the whole sense of the show yet. So mm. I liked the writing. I could appreciate it was good, but I still wasn't getting, like, the heart and humor of the show that I later found when reading the pilot. Mm. So it was interesting. I was just kind of like, okay, I think I know who this character is, but I also wasn't too sure. And then once I got it and read the pilot, I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is like, because I was laughing out loud and it's the kind of humor I like, you know, pretty edgy and immature at times, and you know. So
I
was
love
like,
it.
I know, like dick jokes. Like, thank you.
So,
you know?
So many. Dick jokes.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, I watched, like so many people on this line, like, I love Trailer Park Boys, mm-hmm. you know, and then, you know, the also, you know, like, the kind of, like, I don't think they're related at all, but, like, a spiritual cousin, like, Letterkenny and Shorzy.
Right.
There's so many, and it's just, like, it's so funny, you know, mm-hmm. to take, they elevate that humor. But I gotta say, I don't think I've ever seen so many... I'm drawing a penis in the air. Can you tell? Like, caricature penis. Like, you know that one that, like, you know, grade school kids will be like, they get a piece of chalk and then they draw, you know. I don't think I've ever seen so many in any television program ever. Like, there must be some kind of, like, Guinness World Record
or
something.
That's a really good point. I'm going to have to find out about that.
Yeah.
Most dicks in one frame.
Most dicks, yeah. And, like, can you imagine, you guys, you know, apply for the Guinness World Record, they have to send a representative, you know,
to actually count
them. Yeah, okay, so let's talk about Chelsea then. What'd you like about her?
I liked a lot of things about her. I liked that she was jumping into this situation where she was kind of a fish out of water, in a sense, you know, in terms of blending in with those people. She'd been to a lot of other plants before and turned around a lot of other plants before. But in terms of, you know, the people that she hangs out with on a day-to-day basis, or the people that she deals with, and, you know, it's different coming into this small town, right? Yeah. Where these people are very close knit and might have different values or different focuses. So it was nice to have that. And also that she's got to be the boss, you know, like she's kind of got to be the one that comes in and be like, okay, this is what we're doing, you know? So it was a good challenge. It was a nice challenge to be a more sort of corporate executive,
yeah,
having to deal with people who don't necessarily like you.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't sure what I was going to feel about Chelsea,
mm-hmm,
you know, but then there's Tom Green's on the show, and then there's like, I'm not going to spoil it for people, but go on Crave and watch it and you'll see. There's a scene where there's Chelsea is kind of interrogating Tom Green in a hospital room, and I'm like, wow, it's my kind of lady. So how do you describe the show to people who haven't watched it?
A couple of different ways. I often say it's like it's the workplace comedy we haven't seen yet, because it does. It takes place in this refinery with all these super colorful, lovable characters that are so unique, but in that situation that we haven't actually been introduced on a sort of broader scale. I know that FUBAR did it, or FUBAR 2.
Yeah.
I think they did it in FUBAR 2, you know, that sort of idea. But to see it, you know, over ideally a number of episodes, over ideally a number of seasons, would be awesome. But to see the dynamics and to see those relationships and to see the lifestyle, right, that these hardworking tradespeople lead. And I mean, best of all for me, the humor, right? The survival gallows humor and just general workplace humor that you just like.
It's crazy. You know what? The humor is so, it's like, it's so unique because it's like, on one hand, it is like, literal potty humor,
mm-hmm,
like in the golf tournament there's potty humor,
yeah,
literally,
yeah.
And then it's like the super nuanced too, and you know, like it's like provides a view into, you know, this world, and
yeah.
And what I love about it too is that it is a love letter to the trades,
yeah,
you know, because often you have like the Hollywood elites come in and then they'll make this, and it's like, you know, it can be patronizing or condescending,
yeah, yeah,
you
or
know,
just
but
cleaned up in a way that's,
yeah,
just not authentic. Yeah,
it just feels so honest. So what did, yeah, you, what did you know about the quote unquote trades before filming, and like was there anything that you learned about quote unquote the trades doing the show?
Well, I guess I suspected that it had, the trades in general have a sort of lower percentage of women in that workforce, but yeah, I didn't know what the percentage was. I think it's like 3.8 or something. It's really low.
Wow.
So that was interesting to
3.8.
learn. Something like that. Like, don't quote me on it, but it's around that. It's under 4. Cause I remember, one of the lines in the show talks about, you want to push us over 4, but, yeah, but what was really nice to learn was Anastasia Phillips, who plays Audrey, Todd's sister, and she's, it's nice too, because from an audience point of view, we're sort of looking through her eyes in a way, because she's just going into this and becoming a carpenter and going into the trades herself. And so it's all fresh and new and learning. And I remember when we were first chatting, Warren had a bunch of us just meet over Zoom so we could meet each other before we actually started acting together.
Mm-hmm.
And Anastasia was talking about hanging out with some of Ryan J. Lindsay's friends. So Ryan J. Lindsay, the creator of the show.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've read, but this is all based on, you know, his family and friends, all people that have been in the trades for generations, and
yeah,
his interviews with them. And that's why it is so authentic and why it's so relatable and why we love the people so much.
Yeah.
You know? But anyhow, she was hanging out with his brothers, who are both in the trades, and some of their friends. And you know, she was talking about, she's like, what is it like? How do you view other women in the trades? Like, is it kind of weird? Is it kind of like, is there a thing, you know? And they're just like, no, it really is about, can you pull your weight? Can you do the job?
Yeah.
If you can do the job, you're accepted. That's really as simple as that. If you can't,
yeah,
do the job, regardless of whether you're male, female, whatever, then you're out.
Yeah.
You know? So that was nice to hear.
That is. I sorry, I'm laughing. I paused because I'm like laughing because I just, for this question, I just wrote the parade, and then I don't even have a question, just those words. Like, there's some scenes that are just, they're almost like so first of all, there's an episode that's about a parade, and you know, there's like, they're split into two teams, they make some floats, in the end, they end up like they're anatomical parts and they're having sex. Like it's, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's hard to explain.
Yeah.
When you are present in that kind of thing, facing that kind of thing, because your response as the character was not to laugh. Like there was high drama mm-hmm. happening, you know, in that, because I mean, watch the series on Crave. There's a lot going on there, you know. How do you not like, what conversation do you have to have with yourself to not just fucking laugh at how like surreal it is that you're watching one parade float fuck the other parade float? You know, like I just like I can imagine. I can only imagine how hard it is to do comedy.
Yeah. That's a very valid point, because I think it depends too on maybe like what the situation is. The parade floats I didn't find as challenging as say the, well, I don't know if I should talk, I guess it's kind of a spoiler, but they've aired now, but like there's other scenes where there's even more dicks in a different format, and so like for instance that was a bit harder to keep it together.
Wait, oh, you mean the episode when the sensitivity trainer comes in?
No, it's actually, I think it's episode 7.
Oh, I haven't watched that yet.
Okay, so I won't give it away.
That's today. I'm gonna watch it, because
yeah.
The sensitivity trainer, though, I'm not going to say exactly what, but there is some beautiful art in one.
And oh, it's spectacular.
Like, and from the most crude to just beautiful, detailed, you know, just
And it was
elevated.
It was nice because it had that, like, it was the bathroom wall specifically where you're seeing most of that. And mm-hmm. the what was it? The pistine crapple?
That's good stuff.
Like, it's epic, right?
Yeah.
But like you'd see it even in like the lunchroom and stuff. They'd have all these like, you know, bake sale forms and the things people were putting on that they were bringing. It's just, I can't remember now to give you an example, but just like stuff like that, the little details and just every little thing had been thought out. And as dirty as you could imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what do? Then do you just like you bite your inner lip, or you're just like, or you're so in, like, what do you do? Are you just so in the moment, you know, where you're like, you are your character in that awful situation, as opposed to you are Jennifer Spence as Chelsea, you know, being like, oh my god, there's so many dicks around me, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
My job is weird and awesome, you know.
Yeah. No, I think it's that. I think like you just try to put yourself in that situation and you know, like what would Chelsea actually think about this, and containment of, you know, reputation and the forward movement of the plant, and you know, but yeah, it's, of course, it's not easy. But I think also too, it's like, because you know, you're exposed to it so much and you're repeating a number of takes, it kind of it's easier, it's not so fresh, right?
Yeah. Now you are the site manager, so you do interact with everyone, but I mean your main scene partners, at least episodes 1 to 6, are Rob Wells and Anastasia Phillips. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering if you could talk to me about each one of them, you know, like the special qualities they bring to their work as scene partners.
Yeah, totally. Well, Rob, I hadn't met before, and I feel always guilty about things, but I hadn't watched Trailer Park.
Terrible. That's terrible. You have to. I'm such a fan. When they brought this tour, you know, to the River Rock.
And oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, wow. I went. I sat. I was third row center. I still have my Trailer Park Boys shirt.
T-shirt?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, way. Okay, I'll take a photo.
Yeah. To you, I gotta,
so you can see
this.
Yeah, wow. It was great. And then we spent the night at the hotel, me and Paul, after. It was good. It was before Mari. It was like a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, but it's elevated.
Yeah.
A lot of dicks, a lot of drinking, a lot of drugs, a lot of, I mean, but the perform, Mr. Leahy, oh, come on.
Yeah.
But Rockwell's work in it is, it's elevated.
That's right. Yeah. And that's what I'd heard. And I remember there's a guest star on a couple episodes, AC Peterson. Mm. And he's this funny guy, funny old man, but he's great. I love him. And he was saying how he's like, oh yeah, Trailer Park Boys is like Shakespeare. It's like modern day Shakespeare, you know? So it's like, I gotta watch this show.
Yeah.
So I better, I will.
Sure you watch the Christmas special.
Oh,
as
yeah.
Well. Yeah.
And that's the movie, like a movie version type thing.
I remember renting it from Blockbuster.
Okay.
But there was a movie as well.
Yeah, I feel like they've done,
which was
a
called
few
like
movies.
Trailer Park Boys the movie,
right,
which I also
right.
saw in theater. High opening night.
That's the best way to.
That's a, yeah. I miss what? I miss that. I can't smoke anymore. It just triggers something. Anyway, yeah. So acting with Rob.
Yeah. So Rob, because I hadn't seen him in Trailer Park Boys, I wasn't super familiar with his work, but I'd liked him immediately. Super warm guy and just, you know, great. You know, loving smile, right? And these twinkly blue eyes and you know, generous partner. And he's a producer on the show as
yeah.
well. And he's just great, right? Because it's like, obviously, he's super funny. But he can, like, he's really good at drama, too, right?
Yeah.
Like, we had some scenes together. I was like, whoa. Like, I was like, that was really good. You know, like, he's good, man. He's the full package. He can... He's like a real actor.
In the first episode, especially, yeah, there were some really powerful. When you see male disappointment, you know, and the kind and embarrassment and shame in front of that whole group that's gathered, you know, that
right.
scene. Like I was blown away, like mm-hmm. just watching that.
Yeah. Yeah, his subtlety,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
like you see it. Yeah. Yeah, he's really good.
He's yeah. I mean, as a viewer, I'm happy to hear that you know that you appreciated that up close too.
Yeah.
You know.
No, absolutely.
I wish he was here so I could ask him about working with you.
No, he's a lovely man and you know a family man and yeah. I mean, across the board, everyone really were fantastic people. Like I know everyone says this when they work on a show,
yeah.
but like we just immediately all got along and. Just felt right, you
yeah.
know, and it was really great. Yeah, and Anastasia, I mean, she's just a beautiful actor. Like, I'd seen her a bit in Moonshine.
Mm.
And I'd always just felt like she just brings so much depth to her characters,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like, she's so grounded and real, but there's so much depth. I'm like, what are you doing? How do you do that? What's going on? What are you pulling from, you know?
Yeah.
But she kind of reminds me of, like, Catherine Hahn. You know that actor?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it's just like there's like if you were to just read the lines on the page, they'd just be whatever. But the actor imbues it with so much depth that you just
yeah.
love this person,
yeah.
you know? So yeah, she was just awesome and lovely. And yeah, we had a great time. And you know, the cast, we would like go to like a cabin together. And, you know, it was, yeah, Maritimes.
Well, I was going to ask about that. So. Because you are the West Coast, like I think, I mean, you are like West Coast for several generations, right? Like this is, you have connection to BC that goes back
mm-hmm.
a long ways, you know, so you are West Coast. To pick up a West Coast person and drop them on the East Coast, and I got to say, I love Halifax so
oh,
much.
Yeah.
Like I spent a lot of time there. That's where my family actually entered through Pier 21.
Oh, no kidding.
But I've only visited once, but I've just like any person I meet from the Maritimes.
Yeah.
Like I just love them. They tell the best stories. They ask the most questions,
yeah.
you know? So, but for you as a West Coast person, like what kind of, you know, whether we're talking a film set or just like, you know, the way that they live life out there,
yeah.
like, you know, what, how is it different? How is it the same?
Oh, it's, oh, I love it so much. I feel like, you know, like, of course, like I don't want to, you know, I don't want to knock BC or anything or the West Coast because obviously it is a beautiful coast and we have a lot going for it. And I also feel like, you know, the East Coast, there is, it's true what they say about Maritimers and that East Coast hospitality and the just the warmth and the you know, just taking the piss out of each other and having a good time, not taking things seriously. And you know what I notice, I guess the most or the easiest way to encapsulate it is to say or is to describe it as like, you know, walking down the street, people smile at you and say hello and don't want anything from you.
Yeah.
You know, it's just to like connect with another human being, you know,
yeah.
you just start talking to each other at a bar or, you know, it's the way you know, things should be, in my opinion, you know, it's
yeah.
really nice. And
it's like less cynical, maybe.
I feel like, yeah.
You know, it's,
yeah.
I mean, because it comes from a place of like warmth and community, right? Like
yeah,
it's, you know.
Totally. And I guess, you know, I remember talking to my dad about that a long time ago. It's like, why are, you know, prairie people or Maritimers or, you know, why are they sort of often
love prairie people.
Yeah, why are they often, you know, like friendly and you know, trustworthy and, you know, these generalizations, they're generalizations, but they're good.
I mean, Alex Ponovic should be Mr. Winnipeg, right? Yeah, like totally. he's like the perfect encapsulation of somebody from the prairies.
Yeah, super friendly. Yeah. And just like, yeah, you
so
trust
what did your dad say?
Yeah, so he said is like, I think it's because people had to rely more on their neighbor. You know, I think it can be as simple as that, right? So like prairies, like farmland, you know, you have to like, a lot can happen, you know, and you really are dependent on help and getting bailed out of things if shit goes down, you know, and East Coast is probably, you know, those tough winters and a lot of specific sort of trades and, you know, working class communities, right, that have to depend on each other. I mean, it does make sense to me, right? But whatever the case, I mean, don't change. Don't ever change.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I spread it.
Yeah, absolutely. So if I were to, so where did you film?
We shot mostly in Dartmouth.
It was Dartmouth.
And so Dartmouth is like, it's kind of like North Vancouver is to Vancouver.
Okay.
So Dartmouth is to Halifax, what North Vancouver is to Vancouver, right. If that makes sense. So separated by a bridge. Oh, and one of our drivers, Brian, who was just so lovely, he told me all these like fun facts that he knew. And one of them was that the Lionsgate Bridge was designed by the same person who designed the bridge to Dartmouth.
I love
from
that.
Halifax. Isn't that cool?
Thanks, Brian.
So it really is like a North Vancouver to Vancouver kind of thing. But yeah, so most of it was shot in Dartmouth and we were really fortunate because we got to use this community college there that for the trades.
Oh.
So, because that would be, you know, next to impossible is my understanding. You can't use an actual active plant to shoot in. So we were able to still have all those tools around and that environment and stuff. And then all the exterior shots that you see where there is like the majestic plant in the background, that was shot in Hamilton at Stelco because they have a number of...
Oh, Hamilton, Hamilton.
Hamilton, Hamilton, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, the hammer. Yeah, so and they have like portions of the plant that are no longer functional. Mm. So we were able to shoot in those areas.
My heart actually skipped a little bit when you said Stelco. This is totally a Sabrina thing, but my great-grandfather, Metro Kosazak, he started the first union for like steel workers in Quebec, and he worked at Stelco.
No way.
So yeah, it's like it's kind of tied up in my...
Your DNA.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. And yeah, and he worked in trades all of his life. And then my grandfather worked in trades. I'm literally wearing a ring. My grandfather had like a side business, like literally on the side where he would make rings from like pipes and stuff.
No way. Yeah. And you're wearing one right now?
I'm wearing it right now. Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. He made it in the 50s or early 60s, but
and
anyway,
still like
yeah.
holds up.
I can't believe you were in Hamilton though.
Yeah. 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 So that was the first month and a half, I guess, we were in Nova Scotia. And then the last few weeks we were in Hamilton.
International listeners, there's a big distance between Hamilton and Dartmouth. I had no idea. That's incredible. I mean, I just believed you're in that town.
Yeah.
If you worked in the trades, you, Jennifer Spence.
Mm.
In another life, you know, where acting didn't catch your fancy or whatever, and you worked in the trades, what kind of work do you think you would do?
I think, you know, I think I probably would do something more like safety or something, you know, because it's like I'm just so uncoordinated and unathletic and physically not up to like lugging stuff around and scared of heights. So wouldn't be super useful, I don't think. So yeah, probably would do something like safety or some kind of pencil pushing job, you know, not actually working with my hands. Although welding, I guess there's certain types of welding that's a bit more contained and doesn't involve a lot of athleticism and physical strength.
Still really dangerous though.
Yeah, totally.
I love it.
For the eyes as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah. As you're talking about, I was like just putting on goggles, like in my mind, like my mind's eye. What has been some of your your favorite fan reaction to the show? Like, what have you heard from fans? Because I mean, it's people love it. People yeah. love the show. It's and it is crowd pleasing for yeah. sure. You know, so what are some of the feedback that you've heard that you enjoy the most?
Yeah, like all you can do is hope that people love it as much as you do, right? And so, because it's just like, I don't think we're biased. I think it really is a great show, you know? But yeah, to have that feedback, especially from people who work in the trades, yeah. that's some of the best stuff you can hope for, right? Is that it resonates with them. Yeah. And so to hear that it has been really special. And then also we had the sort of premiere screening of it in Sarnia, where it all began. And so that's where Ryan J. Lindsay is from. That's where his family is and where they work in the trades. And so he rented out this theater. It was like 500 of his closest family and friends who all work in the trades probably, right?
Wow.
And so they're all watching on this big screen. And, you know, you're just hearing guys like, fuck yeah, right? And so it's like, I think that's some of my favorite reactions, right?
Beautiful. Do we know about a season 2 yet?
We don't know yet. Hoping.
I'm crossing my yeah. toes, my toes. Limbs. So look, I'll be like, if you want a season 2, what do you do? But I'm going to tell the listeners what they can actually do. You should watch it. And then you watch it again. And then you tweet about it or, yeah, no, I say tweet. If somebody tells me they want to call it something else, I will always respect it unless it's Elon Musk and I'm just calling it Twitter because I do not respect him. And so like tweet about it, tag anybody and everybody involved in the show and then they can tweet about it. Like this, I think that's the only way that this can be done, right? Mm-hmm. Is for people to let other people know that the show is definitely worth the time.
Yeah.
And we need more of it.
Yeah.
Did I get it right?
I think you're right. I think you're right on the money. It's I guess ultimately everything comes down to, you know, viewership and numbers and Crave measuring those. It's been nice to hear that it's been trending in Ontario, at least since it dropped the first episode. So that's been really great. So yeah, hoping that you know, again, that people love it as much as we do.
Well, I love it. I absolutely love it. One more question before we move on to another series, but where series means something different. You'll understand in a moment. If I were to be like Jennifer Spence, just dropped into, you know, the Halifax, Dartmouth area, but I'm not me because I'm a version of me that hasn't been there before. Like, what do you recommend, like some, like, can't miss things to do or, like, something that I have to eat when I'm there?
Yeah, because the restaurants were so good. That was another thing about Halifax that I loved is there were so many, you know, independent mom-pop restaurants were just, like, everyone that I went to was beautiful. But one that stands out and holds a special place in my heart is the Bicycle Thief, which is right on the water. And it's, I guess, seafood, but Italian.
Ooh.
And, every single meal I had there was just so bloody good.
I can taste the butter.
That's exactly it. It was like, it's really rich. So they're not huge portions necessarily because it's quite rich, but just glorious, you know, like those flavors, like that's what it means to be alive, you know, when you taste some of those flavors. The eating, like no shortage of great places to eat in Halifax. And that's one of them. And then of course doing, you know, like going to Peggy's Cove and driving around. But honestly, like just being able to sit out on a patio and have a beer, you know, with people and watch everyone go by. And there's like a nice boardwalk right on the quote unquote seawall, Halifax. And it's just, it's a special place. I hope anyone who hasn't gone has a chance to go because it really is special.
It is. And honestly, if you do get there, just smile at people while you walk down the street and say hello.
And it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's great. And then bring that quality back here.
Yeah.
Okay, so the other project that I want to talk about today is a series that's called Traces. And it's a series that is from also the period of the last 5 years. And I will say I'm a major fan of both series of Traces. And in the UK, they say series where we say seasons. So Traces has, to my knowledge, had two series, right? Mm-hmm. And it was so cool to watch you as Kathy. Watch Kathy in her bun on top of her head. She's like this brilliant and challenging forensic pathologist working in Scotland. Tell me about the joys and the challenges of this role. Because like you could actually say that there are some parallels between a character like Chelsea and a character like Kathy. Mm. As it's, you know, these are both like powerful women, you know, in workplace, challenging workplace situations.
Mm-hmm.
Very different kind of show, however.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crime drama. Yeah. But no, that's a good point is, yeah, like they're both kind of, and in a way, kind of foreigners, right? Coming yeah. into those situations. But that was the beauty of one of the many beauties of Traces was that this CIFA, this college, this yeah. forensic college, you know, would draw minds from all over the world, you know, so they felt that having someone from Canada would be absolutely accurate, you know, so yeah. it was really nice. And the reason I got that job was because of my agent and my dad, you know, and because my agent knew I had a British passport, so that's why I'm so glad
we were talking about that. Yes.
So good for her to have one. Hello, life experience again.
You know what's
right?
so funny though? I had applied for Murray's passport. It arrived on Brexit Day.
Oh,
like when
wow.
and I was like, no. Cause I was like, oh no, Murray can't work in all of Europe. But then I'm like, oh, but Murray could still work
yeah.
in the UK.
Yeah.
So
totally.
Okay. So that's your dad is the Spence.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was born in the UK. And so he had been really adamant. You know, from when I was a teenager, I guess, he's like, we got to get your British passport. And at the time, I was just like, all right, I didn't really, you know, see how relevant it was.
Yeah.
But he really pushed for it. And, you know, you have to jump through, I'm sure you know, quite a number of hoops to get it. You have to get like your yeah. grandparents' birth certificate, like all sorts of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
It's not just your parent. Anyway, so he had gotten that. And then my agent knew that I had one. And so she started sending demos from her clients who could legally work in the UK.
Mm.
She started sending these demos to various casting directors, just saying, hey, be aware of my clients who can all work there. And yeah. And then Andy, the casting director for Traces, had reached out and wanted me to put something on tape. And so like it all happened because of that, you know,
wow.
like it was just, it was... A beautiful, you know, constellation of of circumstances that led to that.
And was this your first time working in the UK?
It was, yeah. I'd been to the UK many times
yeah.
and always loved Scotland, but I'd never actually worked there, yeah. So that was a huge thrill.
So
to
similar
get to, do.
To the trade situation.
Yeah, yeah,
wow.
yeah.
One of the things that I love, though, about Traces, well, one, British crime procedurals in general, I love the realism. Like, I just mm-hmm. like the look of them, you
yeah.
know, as well. Like, there's something, like, they were embracing diversity and inclusion.
Totally.
You know,
from the get-go.
A decade
yeah,
before,
yeah.
at
And
least.
Women in prominent roles. Yeah. And yeah,
yeah. Yeah. But, well, so that's the other thing. The show is, it's female-led. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, all the main characters, you know, are, like, for the most part, you know, these powerful, flawed, in some cases, fucked up. I mean, everybody is a little bit flawed, but brilliant,
mm-hmm.
you know, women. And then the second season, actually both seasons deal with violence against women, you know, in some way. They both bring up that topic.
Mm-hmm.
When a series involves that much female talent, how does it change the experience of working on it? You know, like how does it change the production? If it changes it at all, like are you aware that you're part of something special?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because... Like for me, I do feel like there's a difference and I am aware of that. I feel like, you know, obviously I like working with you know, any gender of director if they're good. But I do often feel like when there's a female director, I do feel like sets are a bit calmer, you know, just a bit calmer. And so I don't know if that's a generalization or if that's just been my experience thus far. But it's so funny because I was talking to Molly Windsor. She's the lead on it, who's just a lovely, just really special person and you know, going to be a big star. And you know, she's, I guess she was 21 or early 20s at the time when we shot it.
Wow.
And for her, this is kind of all she knows is women directors and women producers. And like, this is just normal for her. Right. So it's just so interesting, like how far we've come in a way. Like, obviously, there's still a long ways to go, but just like from when I started to how things are now, that she just is like, oh, yeah, this is just normal, you know. And for me, it's just like, oh, this is still a novelty in a way. Right. But yeah, it was like, it's again, it's one of those things that shouldn't be a big deal, but it is a big deal. Right. So, I mean, again, it comes down to like, are people good at their jobs? Are people talented? Yeah. Are people, do they have something to say? And yes, a resounding yes across the board, right?
And I guess the difference between like, you know, I don't know, here and there is that like, the other question is everybody being given a chance to shine in these roles? And for here, it's, you know, it's harder to, you know, get those opportunities, right? And there, it's like they seem to be a bit more ahead of us, you know, like as far as giving everybody the opportunity to, you know, to shine in those roles. They're not, I'm not saying that they're supremely better, you know, than us, but.
But you're right about it feels like they've always been ahead of us that way, you know, and I love seeing just how many roles for women in their 50s, like as leads, right?
As leads, yes.
And women like have jowls and it's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it was like some of the first like South Asian actresses, you know, as leads or supporting leads on shows where, and the, you know, you'd see them and it, the fact, like their Indianness was not like part of the story. Whereas here it would be like, oh, there's a South Asian person and they're in the stereotypical role and they're,
we have to integrate that somehow.
And it's like there, it's like, no, they're the, you know, like, what was it? It was, must have been Torchwood. And then like they had this like South Asian woman and then she ends up being like the villain at some point. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like that's pretty cool. Now, as far as like how the set works, like a UK set versus a West Coast set. Like, cause, like I love asking people about this because like on one hand, like people are like, yeah, it's like, you know, a set is a set is a set. Like I've had, you know, even Ukrainian filmmaker on here who's like, it's just like, it's basically the same everywhere in the world. Like the crew wears like black hoodies and whatever, and they all smoke at a certain time. And, but it's just like, you're all like, it's, everybody's the same. But I would imagine that there's gotta be some cultural differences.
I feel like there is. Yeah. I feel like there totally is. I mean, like, you know, I think Canadian crews probably overall, you know, are great, right? At least I've been fortunate to work with great crews. But like, you know, when people get tired, when it's been a long day, when it's raining, when it's cold out or whatever it is, you know, people can get impatient and ADs have a tight ship to run. And, you know, it's a tough job. I wouldn't want to be an AD, first AD at
Hell
least, right?
No.
God, it'd be super stressful, right? Everything is on you to keep on schedule and keep things moving. So yeah. I get it. And I feel like often, you know, when it is like the end of the day or whatever, when there's some frustration, it's like, you know, here, like in the UK, it was a, we were on the set of Traces and we were shooting upstairs and downstairs out on the street, we could hear a bunch of noise. And so they were supposed to have it locked up. The other PAs down below were supposed to have it locked up from pedestrians so there wouldn't be noise. So the AD up top with us, I thought he was going to get mad or whatever, but instead he just, you know, talks into his microphone. He's like, oh, I don't suppose you could ask them to just, you know, pipe down a little bit so we can just get this shot and move on, you know? And then they did. And then we went up. Whereas here, I feel like it'd be like, tell them to shut up. We gotta go, go, go. Right? So it's
like, more dignified.
I feel like there's a bit of a difference. I don't know, you know? And then even like East Coast, working on the East Coast, it's just like some of the crew, like with their fun accents too. It's just like, get in the car. You
know? Yes,
sometimes it's just as simple as that, right? The way of speaking. But yeah, I think overall things are the same. Although in the UK, they say turnover for rolling.
Which turn over. Yeah. No way.
Yeah. So instead of rolling, it's like turn over. Or, yeah. Yeah. It's fun.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. And you say you've been to the UK. I mean, you've spent a lot of time in the UK. You got the brown passport. What are like you arrive in the UK and you go to the Tesco or the Asda, and I know because you and I are the same. We like chips. Well, we like crisps. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you get there. Like, where are you going? What are you picking up? What are you snacking on, Jennifer Spence?
You know what I loved there, what I discovered later from Michael Nardone, one of the beautiful cast on Traces, was Marks and Spencer. Because I always thought they were like a clothing store, right? Or like a household store.
Yeah.
They have a grocery store.
They have an incredible grocery store. Yeah.
It was amazing.
It used to be back in the day, there were Marks and Spencer locations in malls in Canada. And
they were
mostly a clothing store.
Yeah.
And frankly, every few years when we go, Paul will buy his pants. And I actually mean...
trousers?
No. I mean his pants, not his trousers.
Oh, pants as in underwear.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He gets his pants from Marks and Spencer because the clothes are amazing and they last forever. But the Marks and Spencer food hall.
Yeah.
Mm, so glorious. What are you getting there?
Oh, these like raspberry cream cookies and these chocolates that are like, they're like truffles that are like Marks and Spencer brand, I think, that are just like glorious. And these, I mean, not ideal, but I guess single use plastic salads, but they were just so good and convenient. And I know it's bad, but snacks wise. Yeah. I think it was a lot of cookies, a lot of
biscuits,
I should say. Yeah. Biscuits and
like a pudding.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We had Natasha Burnett on the show recently. And she, you know, on When Calls the Heart, she plays, a character who is not from England, but she's actually like, she's from England,
You know,
and so she just made a movie. It's coming out this weekend on Hallmark Channel with Viv Leacock.
Nice.
And she's like from the UK and, visits a small town in America, meets Viv, solves the crime. They fall in love. It's lovely. Mm. They were executive producers on it. It was great.
Oh, cool.
But like part of the show, like the conceit of the show, or a big part of like the humor in the show is like just pointing out all the different things, you know, that the different terms that British people use versus what North Americans use to talk about stuff. Like, mm-hmm. One of my favorite, besides pants and trousers, is a kitchen roll.
Oh yeah! Can I have some? Can I use some of your kitchen roll?
Yeah.
I know it's lovely, isn't it? That kind of thing, or like uni.
They say uni. Yes, they do, don't they?
What else do they say? God, yeah, so many glorious little terms. And then hearing, this is dirty, but hearing fanny, right? Like different.
Yeah,
different meanings behind that, right? Mm-hmm, and it's like, and then if you want to go into Scottish, there's all sorts of whole other can of worms, right? Of like, ken, do you ken someone? Does that means do you know someone?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, just all these fun little language, right?
Yeah. So I know there have been two series of Traces. Like, it ended with it's tied things up nicely, but it's kind of an ambiguous ending as well. Mm-hmm. Like, is there the possibility of more? Do you know?
I really hope so, because we just like, I loved it so much and the whole cast did. And so I really hope so. I feel like, on the one hand, I'm like, well, some time has passed. But on the other hand, it's like, look at Happy Valley.
Yeah.
It's like the third season came out, 5 years later or something?
I think now, especially with like the streamers, with like these massive waits between seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it hasn't been, I think, what was it, like just 2022 for like the first broadcast on ITV, right?
I think you're right. Oh, on Alibi. Yeah, I think
Alibi.
I think you're right. It was early 2022.
I know this is like it's having its first broadcast on something else right now.
BBC One.
Yeah. And then in Canada, you can watch it on BritBox, which is how I watched it. But I hope you get the chance to go back, because I have to say, Kathy, super fun.
Yeah.
Like, fun what's something that you got to do, to play as Kathy, or maybe some kind of characteristics that you hadn't had the chance, or personality traits, because she was a lot,
Yeah.
Like, what's something that you got to do as Kathy that you hadn't had the chance to do before?
Because I guess, I have played scientists before, and I guess I have played sort of awkward scientist yeah. before, a socially sort of inept scientist before. You know, I think part of what I really loved about her was reading reading some of the inspiration behind her. Oh my God, it's terrible. I can't remember her name. Sue Brown, I want to say what her last name was, but I don't know for sure. But she is a quite a famous forensic anthropologist based out of Scotland.
I didn't realize and, that she was based on a real person.
But she was inspired by it, yeah. I should say. You know, like there was some inspiration behind that. And so I'd read her a couple of her books, and I just loved how she would put things in that, like, people are like, doesn't it, you know, creep you out just working with like dead people's bones and teeth and all this like mortality around you all the time? And she's just like, no, I love bones. Bones are, you know, concrete and give me facts. And she's like, the living spook me. You know, yeah. I just love that so much. And it's like, we can all relate to that, I'm sure, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was interesting, you know, from a perspective of, because she was, this type of science was more, you know, forensic, right? So it really was dealing with some pretty horrific things, you know. So we shot in an actual mortuary in Bolton, I think it was Bolton, just outside of Manchester. And, you know, the real life pathologists were working, and so we were able to ask them things, and you know, they would tell us stories about, like,
what?
Yeah. So
I love, like, on one hand, with the trades, you're in like a college, you know, and then like you're in the UK and you're like, you're in this old mortuary and it's spooky. And guess what? They're doing this work over there.
Yeah,
like,
for real.
We talked about the realness and the grittiness of the UK. Wow. Amazing. Yeah. So talking to those pathologists then, like, what were they like? What struck you about that?
Well, what I loved is that they definitely do have a lot of gallows humor to survive, because otherwise they're like, we couldn't survive otherwise, right? Yeah. We have to have that. And then, you know, one lovely lady was telling us about, like, how she talks to the body sometimes, right? Like, I think it was not long after this person passed and the loved ones didn't get a chance to actually say goodbye. So she held up the phone to the body's ear so the loved ones could say goodbye, and she sort of talks to them and sort of tries to see them to the other side, or, you know, that kind of thing. And she said, like, she's been spoken to as well. And so I was just like, did it kind of make you more religious after, or spiritual after you did this job? And she's like, yeah, I think it did make me a bit more spiritual, you know, just being in that position all the time, right? Yeah. I mean, that's, my God.
It must be very humbling.
Yeah.
You know, and like, and especially, like, you know, to be like, I don't know, I'm completely projecting how I think I would feel, but, you know, just to be in awe of the human body and, you know, the stuff of life, right? Like, I'm glad that they do that work, and I'm glad it's not me.
Yeah.
Doing
it takes
that work.
A certain type of person, for sure. Yeah.
Jennifer Spence, we are coming to the end of our time together today. First thing, please don't wait. Let's not wait another 5 years to do this.
Yeah, for sure.
Second, though, I mean, you're having the chance now to do maybe roles you hadn't done before, or in a new way, or work in genres, you know, that you haven't done. I mean, you went to the UK and filmed there, and you filmed out, you know, you filmed with a WPS out east. So if you, like, could put out into the universe, I have closed my eyes and put my arms out, because that's what I do when I put something out to the universe, you know, either like to a type of role you haven't done yet, or a genre. Now, you know, it's like, I've said it weird, and now I don't know how to say it.
I know, it's one of those words.
Genre, because it's French, right? Yeah. Genre, a genre that you haven't worked in yet, or I don't know, like something you haven't done yet in the industry. You know, let's put it out there. What would that be?
Yeah, it's a great question, because, like, on the one hand, it's like, yeah, there's so many types of roles I haven't played. On the other hand, they scare me. But I guess that's probably a good thing, to be scared, to be outside of your comfort zone. Like, I've never played a cop. I've never played an FBI agent, never played, like, that kind of thing. So a detective. So that would be interesting. Again, I'm scared to do it, because it feels like so different. You know, but it would be a great challenge. I mean, I absolutely love comedy, and always will. Like, that's always been my favorite thing, but
you're so good.
But oh, you're sweet. But like, I do, you know, obviously the biggest thing one wants as an artist is great material, right? Yeah. And so it doesn't matter if it's comedy or drama, you just want it to be great and good and quality. And, you know, I think Crave does that kind of stuff. I mean, Crave holds all the HBO shows. It's like my favorite thing. So it's
Crave, you know, is amazing. I mean, and honestly, if you don't have a subscription to Crave, I do recommend it. They have, this episode was not brought to you by Crave, yeah, but I do recommend it because there's a lot of good stuff there, mm-hmm, including one of my other favorite shows, Shoresy.
Yeah.
You know, it's on there too. And that's another show that like didn't grow up in a small town and I'm not a fan of hockey, but that show's made me a fan,
right?
You know, of the people who are in that world, right?
Yeah, yeah. So specific, right? So
yeah, they got, mm-hmm, and yeah, they got a lot of good stuff on there. So, well, I hope that all your dreams come true, Jennifer Spence. Oh,
thanks.
Okay, so if our listeners, if they want to follow you, celebrate you, send you just feedback, good feedback about anything that you've worked on.
Caveat.
Yeah, no good trolls feedback allowed, okay? Where would you like to be found on the socials?
Yeah, so my Instagram is the Jennifer Spence. I know that's a bit of an obnoxious handle, but a lot of Jennifer Spences were taken. So it's the Jennifer Spence.
It's the only one you need to know. The Jennifer Spence.
On Twitter, it's at Spence Jen. And yeah, those are the only social media things I have, I think, that I'm aware of that I can use. And even then, I don't know how to use them properly. But
you need to be on TikTok. A you thing.
Really? Because it just seems like so much work, right? Like you really have to.
Yeah, I would love to just hear you and see you being Jennifer Spence out there in the world. You know, like that's because you are just, you're goddamn delayed.
You are just too sweet, Sabrina. I love you. Can I take you home?
I'm a total asshole. No, I just think because I got, Jewel State onto TikTok, and she loves it.
Yeah, yeah.
She does give me credit for it.
Nice.
So I want you to also, if you know, you do what you want, but it'd be great if you do TikTok.
Because I know a lot of people are on TikTok, but I've just never.
You don't have to like edit big videos and stuff. It's just, you know, you.
Sure. Yeah, I guess that's my understanding, is that like you're making films or something.
Are uploading like a video, but it's not like you have to, you know, edit a 30-second movie or anything.
Right, right. Yeah. It can be whatever you want it to be.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, yeah. And Canada, you can find The Trades on Crave. And so this episode will come out to coincide with, I think it's 8-episode season, right? Mm-hmm. So the final episode of season one. And all of you, please, who watch, I want more of this show. So I need you to tweet about it. I need you to get your friends to watch it. You watch it once, watch it again, okay? Because they look at that stuff. And I want to see where Chelsea takes us in season two. So thank you, Jen.
Thank you.
I called you Jen, not Jennifer Spence. Wow.
That's all right.
It's a big thing for me. All right.
Thank you so much, Sabrina. It's really great.
Thank you, Jennifer Spence.
Always great to chat with you.
And thank you, listeners. Thanks for spending time with us today. Please like, subscribe, leave us a review if you are so inclined. Those make a difference. It helps with like the algorithm, all these technical stuff I don't understand, but the end is it helps us find more listeners and we can keep having conversations like the, I think, exceptional one that we had today. You can find us at yvrscreens.com. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and Threads and Mastodon and like just at yvrscreenscene and at Sabrina. And if one of them falls, just find me on the other. But at Sabrina Arnf on Instagram, that's where you can find all the good cat pictures. Okay, that's like the best one. The YVR Screen Scene podcast is hosted and executive produced by me, Sabrina Ranimera Firminger, and it's edited by Simon Firminger. Special thanks to Mariana Firminger for recording her Patreon ad and to Paul Firminger for technical support. YVR Screen Scene is a division of the Firminger family, aka Fish Flight Entertainment. Join us next time for another deep dive into Vancouver's dynamic film and television scene. And cut!
Hey, filmmakers! Did you know that you can hire top quality, experienced, and professional actors for your films? If you're producing a student film for course credits, working on a web series, a short, or a feature film, you can afford to have some of the best talent in the business in your production. How, you ask? Well, UBCP Actor has an ultra-low budget program, which offers a range of options that cover everything from student films to productions with a $300,000 budget. There is a ULB program that will meet your needs, regardless of your budget. To learn more, visit ubcpactor.ca and look for ultra-low budget programs, or email ulbprogram@ubcpactra.ca. Now is the time to jumpstart your dream for the screen.